Invite you to kneel with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow our knees, our hearts before you. We ask, God, that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, that you would show us the way. God, I thank you that we are here by, not by accident, but by divine appointment. Speak to us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I know what most of you are thinking right now, and the question that's running through your mind, and the answer to your question is very simple. Next week. Next week. Next week. I have a friend of mine who pastors in South Florida, and he has an interesting slogan for his church. His slogan is simple. No perfect people allowed. It's probably good for Florida. Just kidding. No perfect people allowed. That's good for any church, anytime, anywhere. I like that. It reminds me of an old story that's centuries old about two brothers, Christopher and William. They lived in a farming community, and they were growing up, and they kind of had a wild, rambunctious streak. And they were kind of going off the rails here and going off the rails there. They were pushing the limits until they started getting involved in so much mischief that they began stealing sheep from farmers in the neighborhood. Now you say, well, that's no big deal, you know, stealing some sheep. No, that would be like Grand Theft Auto right now. So after a while, William and Christopher were caught. Local farmers caught, brought them to their own kind of mock trial, if you would. And they decided their fate, that both of them would be branded on their forehead with the letters ST, sheep thief. Yeah. So they got an old brand that they would use to brand the cattle and the sheep, and they went, ST. And the people in the village, like it was some type of football game, started chanting, sheep thief, sheep thief, sheep thief. Christopher, the one brother, couldn't take it. He couldn't take the shame. He couldn't take the label. And so he fled that town. He fled that village, never to return again. And I get it. When we're labeled something, and when there is guilt and shame associated with that label, we all want to run. We all want to hide. Whether it's an ST for sheep thief, or whether it's an R for reject and rejected, or inadequate, or loser, however you see yourself or someone's labeled you, it's hard to run from a label. Now, today we're going to look at, what do you do about it? What do we do if we feel like we've been labeled, we've been branded? How do we do that? What happens? Where is God in all of that? Look at the story, if you would, in Matthew. Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 9. Here's what happens. Matthew 9, verse 9. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can cheat. Look on your neighbor, yeah. Or you can just look up in the screen right in front of you there. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now, I grew up learning this story and always found it to be a little bit strange, a little bit puzzling to me. Because after the speaker or preacher or teacher would tell this story, they would say, you too need to drop whatever you're doing and follow him. I just didn't get it. I mean, I had a basketball in my hand. Do I drop the basketball? I don't know. Drop your notebook, leave school, leave your job. I didn't get it. What was going on here? Can you imagine going in, being in work tomorrow? You're sitting there in your office or your cubicle at home, and a guy with a beard and a robe said, hey, follow me. And you just kind of, all right, I'm out. Didn't make much sense to me. But as I got older a little bit, I began to study the story and get some more information. And actually, this was a pretty common practice. In other words, for really centuries, you had certain philosophers and religious leaders like, you know, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, Buddha in the East, and they would call people to follow them, to be their disciples. We know that John the Baptist, who was a precursor of Christ, had his disciples. So Jesus was a rabbi. It was common for rabbis to pick and choose, not randomly. Everybody didn't get a trophy. Who would be their disciple? Who could they pass their teachings on to? So what was unique about the story is not that a rabbi like Christ was going around calling people to be a disciple. What was unique about Matthew's story, about Peter's story, about John's story, is the fact that they had already been passed over. They were too old. They were washed up. They had been unchosen by who knows how many rabbis. That's why Peter was in the fishing business. That's why, you know, Matthew was an accountant. Worked kind of for the IRS, for the Romans, right? He was not a very popular camper among anybody there during that time and during that day. So imagine a draft, if you would, say the NBA draft. First round, you're going to get picked. Second round, third round, fourth round, your wedding, fifth round, and you're overlooked. So you go into some different business. You feel like you've been labeled a reject. You don't have what it takes. And now this rabbi named Jesus picks you and says, follow me. So that's what was happening here. Let's see what happens next. Verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. So the first scene in this passage is at work. Matthew's at work. He's sitting there doing his job. Second scene, we go to Matthew's house. It says that many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? If he were a real rabbi, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't touch people that are unclean, that are despised, that are imperfect people that don't get it. Jesus overheard this. He said, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've come to call the not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let's break this down. Matthew is sitting there at work. He's sitting there in his chair, hacking away at his computer if he was here today. And what happens? In that first verse, it says that God, that Jesus sees him. And that's good news this morning, that when you're at work, when you're in your office, when you're in your cubicle, when you're in the car and you're stuck in traffic trying to make that sales appointment, when you're at home with your child or with your baby, God sees you. And you say, I know God sees me now. I'm at church. No, no, no. God sees you all the time. God's got his eye on you. God knows you. God knows your hopes. God knows your dreams. God knows your fears. And God knows the challenges that you are facing right now in your life. That's what makes him God. And just like he pursued Matthew, God pursues you. He sees you. He sees you. And not only does God see us, God also calls us. He calls you. It said he saw Matthew. He knew Matthew by name. He called him. And he said, what? Come on, follow me. And not just click and become a follower like on social media. It meant follow my way of life. Jesus doesn't care about labels. He doesn't care about where you've been. He doesn't care about what you've done. He cares about where you're going, about your response to him. So Matthew, this guy who had a label kind of like an ST, a sheep thief, this label of a conniver, this label of a betrayer, this label of a reject, all of a sudden has been asked to become a follower of Christ. He saw him, he called him, and God sees you and God calls you to follow him. And BTW, it's not just a one-time event. I know a lot of us here have said, hey, I've done that. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I did that last week, last month, last year, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I'm in. But here's the deal. Jesus is always calling us to follow him. It's not a one-off situation. He's always calling us to follow him, to take the next step in trusting him and obeying him. What's the next step? The next step of obedience that God may be calling you to do right now, today. Philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said that one thing matters, and that is long obedience in the same direction. That's what it means to be a follower of him. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you do it exactly right every single time. It doesn't mean you don't get knocked down, you don't get bloodied, you don't have people who are hating you and despising you. No, it means you get yourself back up and you continue to follow him. You continue to say, God, I need you. I want to know what that next step is. Help me to take that next step because I want to follow you. He sees you right now. He calls you to follow him. Here's old Matthew. And he's been working in the marketplace as a businessman for who knows how many years. He has a master's in CPA. That's what he's doing. And now he's met this new guy, this new teacher, this rabbi that's changed his life. Changed his life. So he doesn't know what to do. I don't know how much he knew of the Bible or anything like that, or probably not much, but maybe Matthew said to himself, you know, I don't really know what to do right now, but I've got a lot of friends that are like me. I've got a lot of friends who are tax collectors and sinners. Imperfect people. And I can throw a party. And now I'm going to throw a different kind of party. I'm going to throw a party with a purpose. How about that? So everybody checks their phones. Hey, it's from Matthew. Party at Matthew's house tonight. All right. Next text. Jesus is coming. All right. I'm in. So they go to this party. Matthew throws it. Jesus is there. And they hear this message. That this new rabbi, this new teacher, Jesus, he's a friend of sinners. He's willing to get down in our life, down in the muck, down in the mire, down in the complication. So here we see the progression. And what God does in our life, the same thing he did in Matthew's life. God sees you, God calls you, but God also sends you. He sends you back into your family. He sends you back into your home. He sends you back into the marketplace. He sends you into the church to use your life, like Matthew was already doing, as an influence and to make an impact on others around you. God calls us to make an impact, to make a difference with our lives. It's almost like Jesus is kind of saying or predicting, listen, the church is going to be a hospital for sinners and not a country club for saints. It's for sick people. It's for people who realize that they're broken, who realize they're absolutely imperfect, who realize that they desperately need God in their life. That's me. I raise my hand to that. God, I want to be sick. God, I want to be lost because I want to be healed and I want to be found. You say, well, wow, that's just why I'm not into religion. It's such a crutch. What's your crutch? Lucky mud and a whole bunch of time? I mean, come on. God sends us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come to the community, the body of Christ, that we can be healed, that we can be redeemed, that we can be rehabbed, that we can have a brand new name, not a label. And the name is redeemed. The name is beloved. The name is chosen by God and by His grace. Then we're like, wow, I want to tell others what God has done for me. I want to help others. I want to serve others. Wherever I go and whatever I do, that's what Matthew did. That's what Peter did. That's what we're called to do. It's interesting, over the years, I've had a chance to speak or at a seminar or, I don't know, a classroom at seminary or some preacher's conference or something like that, if you can imagine that. And sometimes I'll do this little experiment. And it's a little bit mean, but it kind of makes a point. And I'll have a chalkboard or dry erase board, and I'll simply ask the people there gathered. Again, most of these are pastors or in professional clergy, ministry, or whatever. And I'll ask them a question, a simple question. Hey, can you give me some of the different names of Jesus Christ? Just shout them out. So they'll start shouting them out. You know, Jesus, Savior, I'll write it on the board. What's another name? Lord, I'll write it on the board. King of Kings, I'll write it on the board. Lamb of God, I'll write it on the board. Son of David, write it on the board. Messiah, write it on the board. The Anointed One, write it on the board. Lily of the Valley, write it on the board. Alpha and Omega, write it on the board. I'll fill up a chalkboard with all these names of Jesus, and most every single time, that group of people and us will forget the one name, the one title of Jesus that He was most reviled for. And it's right here. Jesus Christ, a friend of sinners. Friend of sinners. God pursues us. God sees you. God calls you by name to follow Him. God sends you. And I just want to say thank you. God, thank you for seeing us. God, thank you for calling us. God, thank you for sending us. And then our response, the one decision that we have to make and continually make to God, is just kind of summarized in one word, and that's openness. Openness. Are you open to God? Are you open to hear Him and respond to His call? Are you open to allow Him to send you into the church, into your world, to make an impact and to influence and to serve others? Are you open? You say, well, I don't know. I'm kind of open. That's okay. Just pray that prayer. God, I want to be open to be open. And the great thing about our church, the great thing about Second, all of our campuses, is that we have so many people, thousands of men and women and young people who are already open, who are already doing the stuff, who are already serving, who are already involved, who are already excited about making an impact with their lives. I love that. I love it. Love it. Are you open? I like the question that poet Mary Oliver asks. She says, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it? If there is a God, and this God sees you, and he calls you, and he sends you, will you give your life to him? And to watch and to see what happens. Do you remember at the beginning of the message, we talked about the two brothers. There were two brothers, Christopher, who bailed because of the sheep thief label branding. But there was another brother named William. He felt the same guilt and remorse that his brother felt. He didn't know what to do about the brand, about the label, but somehow he heard a different call. And he walked a different way. And he went back into the village and said, hey, I'm going to make amends. I'm going to make things right. And so he would show up at people's houses and cottages to say, hey, I'm here to help, not asking for any money. And they were very skeptical. And who is this guy? Oh, it's that crook. It's that sheep thief, and no. But he just kept showing up. When there was a broken fence, he was there. When a horse was stuck in a ditch and they couldn't get it out, he was there. When someone was sick and needed some bread and some soup, he was there. He just kept showing up, rolling up his sleeves and serving. Month after month, year after year, decade after decade, until William became one of the most beloved people in the village. More years passed, and a traveler was making his way through the town, and he was having a bite of lunch at a little inn there in a restaurant. And as the traveler sat there at his table eating his lunch, he noticed a really old man sitting over to his right with a faint stain on his forehead that looked like it were the initials ST. And he watched the old man, and people would come in to the little inn and they would always greet him, and children would come up to him and young people, and it was like the traveler wondered, who is this guy? Is he like a mayor, or who is this old man? So he went up to the owner of the little restaurant, the little inn, and said, hey, sir, excuse me, I want to ask you a question. You see that man over there, the older man, who is that? And the innkeeper said, oh, that's old Will. He's one of the most beloved citizens in our entire community. And the traveler said, yeah, I noticed that. He goes, I was just wondering, there's this strange kind of mark on his forehead, this ST. Do you have any idea what that means? And the innkeeper said, no, I really don't know. Such a long time ago. And then the keeper said, wait a minute. I know what it means. It stands for saint. That's it. Saint.